Good morning, everyone. We're thankful for another Sunday morning. Are you? How many of us are here and very tired? I have found that's life. But I believe the Lord is very pleased when we press against our flesh and get up on a Sunday morning. You know, this is one of those mornings that a lot of people sleep late. I shall never forget. You've heard me tell it before. How the Lord revealed to me about old time radio. And KTOK was having old-time radio every Sunday night till midnight. Lauren was working on Sunday night, and I would hurry home from church and turn it on, lay there in bed, lights out, listening to it. And the program was about a young man that wanted to use the car to go play tennis on a Sunday morning, but his dad was the only morning he could sleep late, And it was just as though the Lord just pulled back this curtain, and because this would have been recorded probably in the 30s, 1930s. And he caused me to see the impact that those underlying messages had in those stories on our whole nation. And it was not important to go to church on Sunday morning. And yet the Lord has given you and me admonition for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So as you got up this morning and you thought, oh, Lord, I can't hardly wake up. I can't hardly get out of bed. And you pressed against that and you came anyway. My prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, that you will leave today and say, it was worth it. I have found it has always been worth it to come out to the house of the Lord. We have made it a practice, habit if you will. It's a good habit. When the church doors are open, we're there if at all possible. And we have found that God honors that and He blesses it. And it doesn't matter how few are there. The Lord has encouraged our hearts with it. So we thank the Lord this morning for each one of you that have come out to the services. And I trust that the Lord will bless you. I hardly know where to begin. I'll just begin. I am going to start with Luke, the 18th chapter, and I'm going to look at the first 8 verses. Familiar scripture. I don't know all that there is in this passage for us this morning, but we're going to seek the Lord to help us to be able to minister what the Lord wants said here. It said, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, He said this now, I presume, to his disciples, to whomever was listening. He said, Hear what the unjudged just saith. Now, he called this judge unjust himself. This was a widow woman that God favored. God has a special favor for widow women. They don't have their companion to protect them, to provide for them. They're in a special place. And especially of this day, of which Jesus was. If they didn't have a son, these widow women were just at the mercy of God and some generous people that would help. They didn't have any support from the government. However they needed or whatever they needed, it had to come by the hand of God or someone that would avenge them. And this widow woman had some kind of confidence that she could get help by going to this judge, who no doubt she knew did not fear God. But she feared God. I have to say, she feared God. And so she continually went. And the answer was no for a number of times. Rejection, if you will. And it did not turn her away. She came again and again and again. It says for a while he did not respond to her at all. And so Jesus is saying here, there's a lesson in this for you and me. And this is not necessarily the thought this morning, but I think we need to be impressed with this thought. We got to hear what the unjudged just saith. And then he said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? Though he bear long with them. Have you ever had a prayer that was for years? Cried unto the Lord about something for years. Maybe you only did it for months. Maybe you only did it for a few weeks. Maybe you only did it a few days. But it seemed like a long time. And the answer just didn't seem to be there. And then it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then this is what I want us to take heed to, the last little part. It seemed almost out of place as I read it, but in one sense it is not. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, what's the rest of the verse now? Shall he find faith on the earth? And you and I are in that time. Do you feel strong in your faith this morning? Or have you had a contest of your faith? I believe that we are in a contest of faith. The nearer we get to the end of time, I believe faith is going to be contested. I personally had a contest of my faith this last week. I did not realize what the battle was. I didn't just analyze it and say, my faith is being contested. But when I stopped and really thought on it and I bowed on my knees before the Father and began to pour it out to Him and He began to put it in my mind what to say in my prayer, I realized faith was being contested. Faith in God. Doesn't His word say, have faith in God? We can't place our faith in anything else and it be effective or even work or even, what shall I say? It will not provide. Faith in anything else will fail you and disappoint you. I don't put my faith in our government at all. There's nothing there that causes me to have great hope for the future My faith and my hope is in God, that He knows the future. He knows how to help us. My government can't do that. I am so happy to live in this country. I still count this the best country of the world. We are the most privileged people of the whole earth. I really don't know of another nation that is as even blessed as you and I. And yet, our country is going downhill. And so therefore, I can't put faith and confidence in the future of our country. I can be thankful I live here and that I have the freedom and the liberty that we have. I count my blessings here, see? We can count our blessings where we are. Thank the Lord. But this morning, I want to point us to God. Have faith in God. And don't lose that vision or that hope of faith in God. Men ought always to pray and not faint. So now I want to give you another little scripture over in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter and verse 9. Desire you to pray for us. I really don't know what to say this morning. I feel like the Lord gave us some scripture and that's all we have. But I love the Word of God. I want to tell you I have faith in the Word of God. Because the Word does not fail. Verse 9 of the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy says, "Know therefore." Now this is directed to you and to me, because the subject is you. You know. Know this, that the Lord thy God, He is God. We are in a world of many gods. It was not so when I grew up. We were not conscious of any other religions around about us. Muslims were not common or well known or even thought of when I was growing up. And almost daily we are reminded of it today. How? A lot of times by just the women that wear the scarves over their heads. And we find it more and more in our society, and so it makes us think about there's another God. Somebody's worshiping another God. And then we begin to hear things we have for years heard of other gods. Sometimes when you go and eat in a Chinese restaurant, are you aware there is another God in that restaurant? Oh, but we pay no attention to that, but it's there. Have you noticed the little Buddha up in a shelf? And have you ever noticed that they have offered that little statue an orange or something? There's another God. They're not worshiping this one true God. They have their hope and their faith in something that is dead, that cannot hear their prayers. This is a God that is made of wood and made of men's hands. And it has, what does the scripture say about those kind of gods? They don't have eyes that can see. They don't have ears that can hear. They don't have a mouth that can speak. They're just a creation. And so all around us in our society and in this world are other gods. I've noticed that when Anna was in school and she had to study all of I think Tyler's into that too now. You had to study about these other gods. You had to be aware of it. They think. Did you know that there is a scripture? And I actually told Anna this. I went over and we were working through some of this. I said, Anna, you only learn this to pass the test. Don't put this in your heart. Because the scripture tells me and you that we're not to even inquire about these other gods and how they are served. So you do this just to get past this test, see? So that's my counsel still. If you have to learn it, put it out of your mind afterwards. This says for us to know the God we're serving. It says, verse 9 again, know therefore that the Lord thy God is, he is God. Do you believe in the one true God, or are you just growing up and well, that's just how I was taught? Do you know what? You need to get acquainted with God. We all need to get acquainted with God, no matter how young or old we are. And you need to get acquainted with God even as you get older. I have found that. The older I get, you know, you can become desensitized. You're almost consumed with the thoughts of your little surroundings. I think about a couple in our congregation that is, their lives have changed. The sphere of their lives was once very large. It was almost unlimited. They could travel. They could go anywhere they wanted. And then it began to close in and get a little bit tighter and a little bit smaller. And then it becomes down to just this little room, practically. I want to tell you something. You need God in those places. And without Him, it'll affect your mind and your emotions and even your soul. And you can lose your soul over it. So you need to get acquainted with God this morning. The older that you get, make sure you know God and you know He is God. Now let's read the rest of this. He is the faithful God. Don't lose sight of God's faithfulness. Don't just get so carried away with the affairs and cares of life and everyday routine that you forget how faithful God is to you and me. And let me tell you this morning, I am preaching at myself. I'm not pointing a finger at all of you and saying, get a hold of this message. The way things have been going for me is what these words are coming out of my mouth. I'm needing it this next week. Don't get so wrapped up in your life that you fail to think about the faithfulness of your God. Know this. And then it says, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments. I want to tell you this morning, the people of God are favored by God. God has mercy upon all. The scripture says He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Did your next door neighbor not get rain and you did last night? Absolutely not. God sent this rain on this whole city and practically the whole state. And He had mercy upon all. But I want to tell you, God does have special blessings for those that fear Him and that love Him and keep His commandments. Remember that. He is a faithful God, but He wants some faithful people. He wants us. He says, I'll keep my promises to you, but I also want you to keep your promises to me. And it goes on and it says, He doesn't do it just to this generation. It says a thousand generations. Now, Gene has trouble hearing me when I lower my voice, and I sort of lowered my voice right then and didn't realize it, but I was emphasizing. I'm going to see if that is a little bit better. I was emphasizing that it's not limited to just our generation. So I tried to lower my voice right then to give an impact. See, to a thousand generations, He's faithful. This is a God. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Let's be like this widow woman. Let's remember what Jesus said at the end of it. Am I going to find faith when I come back? Faith is being contested. What is faith? Faith is believing in a faithful God. In a God that has eyes, a God that has ears, God that has a mouth to speak, a God that has hands, a God that is able to succor you and me, a God that is able to hear our prayers. Yeah. Had a little lesson with these children this morning on a scripture. I wonder, Evan, if you remember the scripture that we started out with. Pray. Carissa, pray to God and He will hear. A very, very simple little verse. Children need to get a hold of it. It's in Job. Pray to God and He will hear. This is our faithful God. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Creator, that your faith will be inspired in how great our God is. We all know the story. Oh, I hate to even call it a story. The account of the creation. I remember one time hearing that Brother Keith Fuller, when he was going to college, he was being bombarded by evolution. He always believed in creation, and his mind was being bombarded with evolution. And he went to Brother Sammons and he told him, he was troubled. Brother Sammons told him, you turn over there and you read the first part of Genesis over and over and over until it is in your heart and mind and nothing can change it. You and I need to remember that. We're going to be facing people that don't believe in this fantastical account. And it is fantastical. I hate to use a word that maybe is used on other things, but when you really stop and analyze and realize how God created this whole universe only by speaking the words and it was so, it's beyond our humanity. Because you and I can't do that. I cannot command one change in this whole world. I believe the scripture even says that we can't even change the color of the stripes. And I think it said something about we couldn't change the color of our hair. And somebody might say, wait a minute, I think you can. But it's not for real. When that dye washes out, your hair is still that same color. See? You and I can't change anything. But God did. And this is God. And He is the faithful God. And He keeps His promises. So in Genesis, you find it says, in the beginning, God created. the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not going to linger in that particular passage because I want someone to get Hebrews 11 and 3 and just tell us what that says. Then I'm going to Job 26 and 7 while somebody reads that one. Through faith, we understand. Now, you and I do not understand this any other way except by faith. Remember, Jesus said, "Will I find faith when I come back?" Are you and I going to still have faith in the Word of God that says God created it just like this? Go ahead now. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God.
So that things which are seen,
the things that you and I see,
were not made of things which do appear.
Were not made of things that do appear. There was nothing here. Nothing. The scripture tells us that it was just void. It was empty. It was space. It was nothing. And by faith, that's what you and I are believing today in this one true God, that He created everything that you and I are seeing, but it wasn't made out of what we see. Okay, let's go to the 26th chapter of Job, and I'm going to look at verse 7, and I tell you, I was inspired by this verse. It says, "He stretched out the north over the empty space and hanged the earth up on nothing." I don't recall having read this scripture before. I don't have it marked in my Bible. I have a lot of scriptures that are marked in my Bible, but I need to mark this one. "He stretched out the north over the empty space and hanged the earth upon nothing." Do you believe it? By faith, we understand this. We accept it. Now, the next scripture is Nehemiah. Let's see, Nehemiah. I've lost my little tabs on a lot of these. The 9th chapter and verse 6. This is what it says. "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all of the things that are therein, the seas and all that there is therein." Does it cover it all? The heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that's in it. And it says that thou art God alone that did this. It's the last part of this verse I want you to get a hold of now. "And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." I want you to think on the word preservest. Don't we know by faith that He is preserving and reserving this world unto fire and unto destruction? The scripture tells us that it's all held in reservation by the Word of God. He did it when He did the flood. He released the flood upon the earth, brought the destruction according to His will. But then He says, "I'm never going to destroy the earth again by water. It's reserved unto fire. This thing that I set in motion, I can take it out by the same word." That's what the Word of God says. And by faith, you and I are believing it. And by faith, we are believing He is preserving it all. And this word preserving or preservation. I want you to think about that now for your faith in God. Now we're going to switch a little bit. We're going to talk about us now. If God's word can preserve this whole universe, can he not preserve you and me in this time world, in this dark and evil generation? Can you be preserved unto the end? I believe we can. Let's look at some word. John 16. Verse 16:33, Jesus' words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. What does the scripture say? It says for us not to be disturbed when we're going through tribulations. Doesn't it say that? It tells us, didn't Jesus even tell his disciples what was going to happen before it happened to them? He did. He tried to prepare them. He has tried to prepare you and me for living in this world. When we get saved, oh, some feel like that's the ultimate. It is the ultimate because you're preparing for eternity. But it is not going to just take you out of this world. Jesus said, I pray for these that are in the world. I pray for these that you will keep them from the evil that is in the world. The very principles of God's faithfulness to people and to those that fear him is that he's able to keep them from the evil. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Where's your faith this morning? In this faithful God. In this one that created this world, that took the earth and hung it out there on nothing. He's able to preserve it. The scripture said it. He's preserving this world, and he can preserve you. He can keep you to the end. Next verse, Deuteronomy 33 and 27. Got some old and new scriptures, but it's good to mix them together, see? 33 and 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy him. I put in parentheses by that word them. That's an added word. Him. Who is him? The devil. You see, there is a God of this world that wants to draw you away from understanding and knowing the power of God to preserve you. This trial is too hard. I cannot bear this any longer. The thoughts that he plants in your mind and in mine is that he wants us to feel we are forsaken and we're alone. That's what he does. Satan does it. The eternal God is thy refuge. Get acquainted with your refuge. Let your faith take it in. That you have a hiding place. Too many scriptures speak in Psalms David found hiding places. You've got to find a hiding place in God. He'll meet you there. He'll prove himself to you there personally. He'll fill the needs in your life and in my life. Do people feel the needs in your life? We want them to. And we have expectations of people feeling our needs. That's our humanity. It comes down to it. It boils right down to it. Your husband, your wife, your children can't fill your needs. Can't do it. That's why I said, get acquainted with this God. Let him be your friend. Let him be your companion. He's the only one that can help us.
Let me give you a scripture.
Okay.
Job 22 and 21.
Acquaint now thyself
with him.
And be at peace.
Thereby good shall come unto thee.
Thereby good shall come to thee. What a scripture. That's what this message is all about. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Will I find faith when I come back? Faith in man or faith in God? Let us find faith in God, in the creator of this world. Let us believe as we have never believed. It does not matter that faith is diminishing in the earth. You don't have to let it diminish in you. And that's one thing I faced this week. You all know that I have, and I was reluctant to let you know how I was praying. And the Lord just caused it to come out. I was praying for the gift of faith. I was praying for the gift of healing and for the gift of miracles. Because those things are supposed to be operating in the body. I've encouraged the congregation here through a message. You pray for it for you too. It's not too high. God wants to give it to us. But my faith got contested. And I found I was not asking for them. And when the Lord began to show me, it's faith that causes you to pray for that. And when I prayed against it, the power of that oppression was broken. I had the victory again. I want to tell you something. Pray against the oppression of the enemy. Pray against those things that will hinder faith. Pray against it. Resist it in the name of Jesus. We have a great and a mighty God that took this earth and put it out there on nothing. And he's able to preserve it. And he's able to preserve you and me. And he will do it. Deuteronomy 33 and 27. Did I read that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Isaiah 46 and 4. Isaiah 46 and 4. Oh, I want to tell you, don't let anyone ever tell you that God doesn't use the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of God. And it will inspire our faith. 46 and 4. Okay.
Even to your old age.
Oh, yes. Even to your old age.
I am he.
I am he.
Even
though your hair turns gray, that's what that means.
I made
That word sort of sounds horrible in there, the way it is used, whore hairs. That means nothing more than my hair turning white. And my hair has got there. I was once young like some of you young people. I was once middle-aged like some of you that are here. But some of us here are approaching old age. And this scripture is telling me what he will do clear to your old age and beyond. What does he say he will do? I will do what? I will carry you. Does that touch your heart this morning? He wants to pick us up and carry us. When I read this, I cannot help but think about that poem, Footprints. The man, I presume this really happened. That there was somebody somewhere that had a dream and saw them walking on the seashore, and beside him was Jesus walking, and there was two sets of footprints. But there ended up being only one set, and he thought it was his. I want to tell you, you and I can't walk alone. When we get older, we're going to need God to carry us. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of places down through your life that God carries you even now. You don't have to be old. Oh, I want to tell you, God will carry you. This God, the faithful God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one that is preserving it all, he'll preserve you. He'll keep us. Finish that verse.
I have made and I will bear.
I have made and I will bear.
Even I will carry and will deliver you.
You can't get that from people. I can sympathize with you. People say, you can comfort me if you've walked in my boots. If you walked a mile with me, then you know. And maybe it's true to some extent. People that have lost a child understands what it is to lose a child. People that has lost a husband or a wife, they're able to comfort. But I want to tell you, the song says Jesus is the only one that can afford the real comfort. He's the only one. He's the only one that can deliver you and me. Okay, we're almost through. Let's go over to the New Testament now. 1 Peter 4:19. This is what it says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You got to suffer? I want to tell you, all of humanity suffers. Don't ever get it in your mind that only the saints suffer. Irma knows. She's in a nursing home that she sees suffering. I have been in a hospital one time that I actually felt the throb of pain in that hospital. I felt it. It's not pain-free. If the enemy tells you that they have the answer to get you without pain, it's a lie. You might be relieved for a little time, but I want to tell you, it comes back. But the saints, the people of God, those that keep his commandments, those that have put their faith and confidence in the one true God, they will suffer. He says, the servant is not greater than the Lord. Didn't he say that? Did Jesus suffer? You know what? Jesus suffered. And you and I have some suffering. Don't be deluged into thinking, if I get saved, I will never, ever have to suffer. He says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Count it a blessing to suffer. That you have to come to. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto the faithful Creator. Goes back to his creation. He created you. He wants to order the steps of your life. He wants to order your daily life. And if it entails some suffering, he'll give you grace. He will. I can testify to it. Last of scripture, 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, verses 12 and 13. For the which cause I also suffer these things, Paul suffered, or Timothy, whichever this is the Paul. Paul is the author here. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom, now you finish it. I know whom, what? I have had faith in. I had faith in you. I have believed. And what's the rest? That he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. A powerful scripture. Because it's talking about my last day. God is able to preserve you to your last breath. The Creator. Amen.
One more verse I'd like to read in Jude.
Okay. Jude. What? The fourth? 24th. Okay. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling
and to present you faultless
before the presence of his glory
with exceeding joy.
Powerful verses. Believe them. Jesus said, when I come again, will I find faith? Have faith in God. Have faith in the Word of God. Amen.